So this is Sophia Cahillane, and I am here with Professor Heidi Newberg from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, where she researches and teaches astrophysics. Welcome.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
So I wanted to just start off with basic questions about the sciences and kind of how you originally got interested in STEM, or physics in particular.
Okay. I think what I liked as a kid was figuring things out. So I liked these brain teasers, and there were Scientific American, you know, mind builders, and I would try to do all of the puzzles that I possibly could do. And I think that's really what excites me about the sciences, the puzzle aspect of mm-hmm. And I never really picked astronomy or physics ahead of time.
Yeah.
It just sort of is what happened when I started. In senior year, all of a sudden someone asks you what you want to do next, and that's when you first start thinking about it. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do something science and math. And my father, who went to school in the 60s and got an undergraduate degree in psychology, said, well, if you're going to do math or physics, you should do engineering so that you can get a job. And so I did that. I went to RPI as a freshman in mechanical engineering. And when I was there for a year, I thought, you know, I really don't want to take the sophomore level engineering classes. I didn't want to take lumped parameter systems. I didn't want to take fluid dynamics. Mm-hmm. And I realized that what I wanted to know was why everything worked the way it did and not how do I use the way things work. And I think that's kind of the difference between scientists and engineers. You know, we do the same, we use the same concepts and the same physics, but as a scientist, you're always asking, well, why does metal stretch mm-hmm. When you pull on it? And when you're an engineer, you want to know, how does it stretch so I can build my bridge?
Yep. And how can I use this?
And so that's when I switched into physics.
Okay, cool. So you mentioned you went to RPI.
Yes.
And so that was undergrad?
Yes.
Did you stay there for graduate school?
No, I didn't. I did my graduate work at University of California, Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, there's not too many times, I thought, you know, there's not too many times in your life when you can just pick up and go across the country and try something new. Mm. And I had done my undergraduate work very close to where I grew up. So this was a chance to just go out and see the world.
Yeah.
Going to the West Coast.
Yeah. Okay. So can you tell the world of your specific subject area right now? So astrophysics, what are you working on in your research?
Well, I actually am working on too many things at the same time is the real answer to that question. My main area of research is the Milky Way galaxy, trying to understand the structure of the Milky Way galaxy and how it formed, how it became the way it is today, how it works. When I started learning about galaxies in school, it was always kind of a static picture. You would draw a picture of an exponential disk and then some kind of halo it was in, and it just seemed like everything was just static. And what we're finding is that small galaxies are falling into the Milky Way, so they're things that are coming in all the time. Yeah. Smaller galaxies.
Small galaxies.
And they're perturbing the disk stars, and so they actually could be making spiral structures or affecting the whole organic shape of the galaxy. So I now think of the Milky Way as this dynamic place where there's all these things falling in and dust being blown out and spiral arms forming and changing. And it's a whole dynamic system. And so I'm trying to understand how that whole system works.
Yeah.
And one of the big things that we think about is that like 80% of all the mass in our galaxy is dark matter, which is a substance that we have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we try to use is the dynamics of that Milky Way galaxy to try to understand something about the dark matter that we cannot see, and try to figure out exactly where it is in the galaxy.
Okay.
So that's the main thing.
You know, just giant structures in space. It's pretty intense. Okay. Moving away more from the science bit and into being a woman in STEM, and I was wondering if you had ever experienced from peers in the field or students unconscious or implicit biases?
Well, I mean, we all experience those, right? And a lot of times it's difficult to know that that's actually what's going on. You never know when you weren't chosen to do something or you weren't asked to do something. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the real reason was. And it's only kind of when you think back on your whole career that you kind of see how little things shape what happens in your career. One thing, I've written a couple things about it that are on my website from different points in my career, and I think at different career stages, people think about how things happen differently. I think as an undergraduate student, I just didn't think about it. I mean, maybe things did happen. Looking back on it, I can see that people said things or things did happen, but it didn't really affect me. And it wasn't until I was in graduate school that I started to really understand that some people would see me as a person who was going to become a scientist, and some people would see me as somebody who probably cares more about kids than science and, you know, is not going to stick with it.
Yeah.
And it becomes a lot more obvious the farther you go up in your career. And I think that, you know, it's not, you know, men or women, or I think it's just as common for women to stop other women's careers as for men. You know, you see it in, for example, undergraduate student teaching evaluations. They've done study after study, and the same teacher, the same teaching style, the same grades on every other performance metric will give a lower grade for women or a lower for people that are minorities.
Wow.
And if you're both, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But it's across the board, all ages, all genders, that you have to just keep reminding yourself that that can't stop you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, so kind of leading off of that, have you experienced imposter syndrome kind of from that almost, or just...
You know, I actually don't. I know a lot of people do. I have always felt like I really never got anything that I didn't deserve three times over.
Nice. No, that's great.
And you know, maybe I stopped myself maybe from even going to where I should have been. Maybe, you know, my own... you know, being unsure of myself, maybe I never put myself in a situation where I would be an imposter. I don't know. But I don't think anyone ever encouraged me to do anything I wasn't so qualified for. It was ridiculous. So, no, I have never felt like an imposter.
That's good. I mean, I don't think enough people don't feel like an imposter, if that makes sense. So one last question before we're out of time. Do you have a message that you might want to share with young girls or others who might be interested in STEM or physics?
Yeah, I think that women worry too much about what'll happen when they go down one track or another. Will I be able to have children? Will I be able to have hobbies? Will I be able to live my life? And I think what I would say is just don't worry about it. You just do it. And I always kind of felt like I could leave at any time. I mean, if you're walking the STEM pathway and you decide that the pathway you're on is not something you want to do, you can always do something else. I mean, you always have skills and options and you can try to do other things. But I think one of the problems is if you limit yourself. You know, if you say, I don't know if I want to do that because I'm afraid of what will happen if I do. Mm-hmm. And I think you should just go for it and see what happens. I mean, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming down to do this interview.